Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you. And it's Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 to midnight, right over there on the East Coast. And that's for all the sleepyheads. And, of course, you can check the time in your own area and in your own country because we are on Worldwide Online Blog Talk Radio Network. And all shows are archived, so you can come back to blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles, scroll on down, and find the special guest and topic that you would like to listen to at your convenience. And tonight we have a really special guest. His name is Frank Cousineau. He is the president of the Cancer Control Society, and he's going to talk about the 45th Cancer Control Society convention coming up, and that will be held in Glendale, California, at the Glendale Hilton Hotel with prominent guests from around the world, doctors, nurses, authors, speakers, natural cures, treatments, the latest treatments, and you will not want to miss that, nor will you want to miss the convention. And this will be on Labor Day, September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So right now, I do want to offer our prayers and let everyone in Texas know that we are praying for them. And you can go on my Facebook and scroll down, and there is a post where you can donate to the victims of Texas. And I hope you will do that. They're going to need a lot of our help. So God bless them, and thank President Trump for making a trip out there and reassuring him that the White House and Congress will do everything in their power to restore their homes, their buildings, their businesses, and get them back up and running again. I'm sure many of them are traumatized and in shock right now, and so let's be sure that we pray for them and keep them in our thoughts and do what we can to help them out. So any amount will help out. It's not the amount, it's the thought that counts. And the prayers. So let's talk about Guam, because Guam just had a 5.2 earthquake. And Guam was the target of North Korea Kim Jong-un to fire off a missile. But thanks to President Trump, that didn't happen, but he fired off three missiles anyway, right over Japan, according to the news. Every time he fires off those missiles, there seems to be an earthquake that follows. And it makes common sense that if you're going to fire off a missile, that it's going to disturb the land and the oceans and the lakes. And so it's not just the fact that he could miss and millions of people could die. It's also the fact that it is disturbing Mother Earth and causing damage to property and buildings and could possibly cause the loss of life as well. So there's so many things happening in our country. It's just unbelievable. And next, since we're going to be talking about cancer this evening, I came across an article because cancer is a huge problem in America and around the world. And it's titled, Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. And it is a interesting article because it says, cancer claims the lives of thousands of Americans every day, but it also results in tens of billions of dollars in revenue for the medical and pharmaceutical industries. That's the industrial, medical, and pharmaceutical complex. Why would these industries champion a cure for the disease when they enjoy such stratospheric profits in its treatment? Many people ask this question, so I found this article interesting because many doctors have said they've had cures and they were threatened by the government that they were not to put out those cures or they would have problems. This is the premise of the documentary titled Cancer, the Forbidden Cures, a cynical indictment of medical establishment ethics. Now, of course, it's not all medical personnel, but we all know that there's corruption wherever there's money involved. The film opens with a rudimentary examination of the disease, including how it develops and spreads in the human body and the damage it inflicts along the way. The filmmaker's main focus lies in the three mainstays of modern cancer treatment: surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. Their points of view on each of these options are damning. Chemotherapy alone is a toxic compound that has been shown to produce severe illness, diminished immune system capabilities, and cognition malfunction. Meanwhile, many suspect that prolonged exposure to radioactive therapies can inspire the same cancers they're employed to treat. Are these really the best solutions we have at our disposal? Well, having been in the beauty industry for many years and attending many workshops with medical professionals and doctors, it's my understanding that there are no safe levels for radiation. And you can check this out yourself. This is from my own research and attendance at these workshops. And furthermore, that the reason they cover up the healthy parts of your body is so that the rest of your body will not be radiated, because it sets off free radicals, and free radicals kill off the good healthy cells, and there's no way to stop it. And then there is the possibility of aging quicker, getting cancer, blindness, possibly cataracts, and even in young children, it's said that they could become sterile, and that Hitler used radiation to sterilize people during the Nazi regime during World War II, when he had free rein to treat people like property and abuse them and torture them, ISIS. And so we have to be very careful when people tell us to walk through all of these security areas in the airports, in public buildings, in federal buildings, state buildings, courthouses, airports, etc., because every time you get radiated, it sets off those free radicals. And so it's like a little army of good guys, and then there's the army of bad guys. and the army of good guys is securing the body from being attacked by the bad guys, who are called the free radicals. But once the radiation hits them, then the free radical army is able to break through the security walls and break down the good cells, the good members of that army. And it can cause death and the loss of hair. So the article goes on to say, leaders in the field of oncology over 100 years ago prescribed a treatment regimen that was largely free of toxicity and heavily reliant upon nutritional value. The film contends that all of this changed when the wealthiest members of society began making sizable donations to medical universities in exchange for placement on their boards. It's kind of like the federal government. They dangle money over the states, over the governors and the mayors, on the schools and so forth. And then they tell them they have all this money for them, which every state needs to run the prisons and the schools and so forth. And then they say, well, you have to agree to this particular mandate, federal mandate. And if you don't agree to the federal mandate, then you're not going to get the money. So it kind of borders on extortion, in my opinion. Instead of working to help the states, they're working to enforce federal agendas so that they can put their big foot upon the states and individual rights and trample on them. So to me, that borders on extortion. So again, the film contends that all of this changed when the wealthiest members of society began making sizable donations to medical universities in exchange for placement on their boards. The financial prospects of cancer treatment started to outweigh humanitarian concerns almost overnight, according to the film's interview subjects. Drug companies prospered the cost of additional treatment resources, such as radium, doubled many times over. Research dollars were devoted to pharmaceutical endeavors instead of those aimed at finding a cure. Well, I want to insert here, we have a overwhelming number of prescription drugs coming at us at such a rapid rate on television, online, in the news, that it is unimaginable that they could be producing so many prescription drugs for everything you could possibly imagine. And of course, very quickly, they tell you all of the adverse side effects like heart attack, stroke, death, blindness. But if you die, be sure to contact and dial 911 for help. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. So, but it is true if you listen to the adverse side effects. The financial prospects of cancer treatment started to outweigh humanitary concerns almost overnight, according to the film's interview subjects. Drug companies prospered. The cost of additional treatment resources, such as radium, doubled many times over. Research doctors were devoted to pharmaceutical endeavors instead of those aimed at finding a cure. Critics within the medical community were discredited as quacks, and promising alternative therapies were never given an opportunity to succeed. The filmmakers seemed too eager in their willingness to endorse those who claimed to have discovered the next miraculous alternative therapy. Largely absent are the voices of those who work tirelessly with great compassion to defeat the scourge of cancer in our lifetime and do so while operating within the confines of the same medical establishment the film criticizes. Still, The film's premise of rampant greed, tides of true progress, is valid and worthy of exploration. I thought that was quite interesting, and I hope you found it quite interesting as well. Money talks, we all know that, and we are the victims of greed right now as I speak in the USA and around the world. So we're living in some challenging and exciting times, to say the least. And now we're going to turn to the world of authors and experts. And we do have a wonderful prominent guest who is an expert in his field. And we're going to return in just a moment, and we will be speaking to the president of the Cancer Control Society, Frank Cousineau. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a moment.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Listening is an art. An art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to columbochronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, columbochronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because now Columbo Chronicles Live is entering into the world of authors and experts, and we have an expert with us this evening, and he's a very prominent gentleman, and he's the president of the Cancer Control Society. His name is Frank Cousineau, and he returns with us every year, and we're so happy to have him with us and welcome him because he's a wealth of information, and he's also going to talk to us about the Labor Day convention that's coming up at the Glendale Hilton Hotel, and the public is welcome, so you won't want to miss that. So let's just get started. And, let me tell you a little bit about Frank. Hey, wait a minute here. he will be joining us in just a second, but he's got an interesting background, too, and in the field of cancer for over 40 years. 40 years ago, his mom was stricken with cancer, and he decided to survey the medical world everywhere to help his beloved mother. And these days, Frank Cousineau leads cancer patients to clinics in Mexico to help find successful treatments. And he even made a trip to Japan, where he attended a cancer convention to learn more about the advances in cancer worldwide. And he operates out of his offices in Modesto, California. So let's welcome Frank Cousineau to Columbo Chronicles Live. Hi, Frank. How are you this evening?
Doing very well. Always enjoy coming on your program. And I have to make a comment about the just for the lead-in, when we're talking about how we've lost the art of conversation and the people that are lost in their digital devices, it's such a serious problem that it's kind of mind-boggling. So I really appreciate the fact that you're talking about that as well. But I'm very happy
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
Thank you.
Always happy to talk about the Cancer Control Society and of course, our annual conference, Labor Day weekend. This year we'll be in a new venue. We'll be at the Hilton Hotel in Glendale, California. It'll still be Labor Day weekend. This year it'll be September 2, 3, 4. And, of course, 5 is the doctor's symposium, and then September 6 is the first of our tours of the Tijuana Cancer Clinics. So we're very excited about it, and, again, always enjoy being on your program.
Well, thank you for being on our program and sharing this information, because we know the public is always welcome, and they can always RSVP as well, and you will give them that number. And who will be some of the key speakers?
We'll have it's kind of a combination of some of the ones we've had in the past, as well as some new ones. But one I think particularly recognizable to your audience would be Dr. Lorraine Day. Again, professor of medicine, head of surgery, so many credentials in the conventional medical world, came down with breast cancer, rejected the majority of the conventional approaches, set out on her own, obviously changed her life, and her talk is Advanced Breast Cancer Now, 20 Years Cancer-Free. So always popular, and so we always enjoy having her. Again, some of the new ones, for the first time, we'll have Deborah Davis. Deborah's a PhD, Master of Public Health, wrote the Secret History of the War on Cancer. Again, exposing some of the things behind why we're not winning the war, why we're losing the war against cancer. We have speakers from Japan. We have speakers from the United States. We have speakers from Mexico. And again, we have the best of the Mexican clinics, some of the most outstanding physicians in the United States, as well as other countries. We're beginning to focus not only on just cancer after you get it, but cancer prevention and early testing. Dr. Emil Shandell, PhD, cancer profile. He can detect with his test anywhere from 5 to 10 years before it would show up on any kind of an orthodox or conventional mammogram, sonogram, and those kind of things. We have those. We have Doug Kaufman. Again, Doug is one of the experts in mold, fungus, and cancer. What is the connection between mold, mildew, fungus, and cancer? One of the things you were talking about.
That is really scary. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that is really scary because, you know, we're having the floods over in Texas, and God bless all the Americans over in Texas, and we pray for them. And during the Katrina floods, I was the one who wrote the letter to President Bush and Mrs. Bush and all of the FEMA people in charge and all that, telling them that and urging them to give trailers to the people who were made homeless. And they did it, and then they gave them trailers with mold. And now you just mentioned the seriousness of getting cancer from mold. That's scary.
Yes, it is. And not only is, you know, the mold that kind that kind of seeps into the walls, but we have inside so many of our bodies, we have candida. We have various kinds of yeast molds that grow and develop because whether it's lifestyle, whether it's denatured food. In fact, it's really not a, we shouldn't even call it denatured food. It's not food. It's just denatured agricultural products or something that people eat. They may feel full, but that those ingredients wind up being breeding grounds for various types of toxic fungus, candida type, inside the body. And it's because those so-called foods don't allow the healthy probiotics, the good bacteria, to grow, to develop, and to fight off degenerative disease, interrupt the cycle of digestion, and cancer is certainly one of the conditions that develops under those circumstances. So we're always happy to have Doug Hoffman as a speaker.
Yes, and cancer and heart attack and stroke are still at the top of the list in our country for death in America. And so I also see that you, at the convention, your guests, your prominent guests, will be speaking about nutrition and non-toxic therapies, which is very interesting because including enzymes and immunotherapy and chelation, DMSO, oxygen, herbal cellular, and electromagnetic therapies, which all appear to me to be more of the natural preventative, non-toxic ways to help improve or your health and hopefully delay any more cancer problems. Is
Definitely.
That part of the more natural way to go?
Yes, it is. And a combination of all of those things that you just mentioned provide an environment inside the body that doesn't allow disease to grow or to take hold. And you know, again, when if we historically we look back, how people ate, how they worked, and true, modern American medicine has been able to a certain extent extend the lifespan. But when we see that and according to the latest things that I've read, the average, say senior citizens, the average retired person is on between 8 and 12 prescription medications on a regular basis. And it, you know, to me it's kind of, it's mind-boggling that people would actually take that many different medications, and certainly half of those counteract some of the negative consequences of the other half. And the physicians, for instance, that speak at our conference, integrative physicians from around the world, and even here in the U.S., at integrative conferences, don't talk about prescription drugs. The cardiologists don't talk about statin drugs other than in a crisis for a week or two, but never longer than a month. They talk to their patients about food. They talk about supplementation. In other words, here's what you need to eat, and here are the vitamins, here are the minerals, here are the proportions that you have to take vitamin D, vitamin A, magnesium, as it relates to the other vitamins and minerals and the omega-3s, the in proper balance with the omega-6. So all of these things that work together, that modern medicine has moved away from. I mean, you know, again, 40 years ago, I was in a meeting where a local oncologist was invited to talk about, you know, cancer therapies. And at the end of his presentation, which was very, very conventional, very orthodox, one of the people in the audience asked him, well, doctor, what about nutrition in cancer? And this, again, the most famous oncologist in this Northern California community said, what the heck does nutrition have to do with anything? And, of course, this was 40 years ago, and that was the thinking. I think it's a
that
response
to... That was the thinking
to,
because... No, it was the thinking
incredible.
Because
that's
I think it was in the
think.
80s I asked my own doctor that question. I asked that own question. I said, well, what do you think about nutrition and vitamins and supplements? And he looked at me like, what? And he said, I don't know. We don't really study anything about nutrition and vitamins and supplements. And he goes, I guess it's okay, you know, take them. But that pretty much was the answer back then.
And that was all that was the best advice he could give you because he didn't know. He just flat
no, he
didn't
was surprised
well,
I even asked.
yes. And, of course, now we do have we have people like Lorraine Day. We have people like Doug Kaufman. And, you know, we're talking about fungus and cancer. This year we're having Dr. Simon Yu again. And he's talking about the connection between parasites and cancer. And Dr. Yu, again, you look at his academic credentials, the study that he's done, as in the years he's been in his own medical practice, is unassailable. Again, he certainly could go, you know, knowledge-wise, experience-wise, with any of the top medical people anywhere in the world. And he chose to focus on the connection between parasites and cancer. So here's someone that looks at that and helps patients through, and for the most part, not with toxic drugs, but with food, with supplementation, to create an environment where things like fungus, mold, yeast, parasites can't exist. And if they spring up a little bit, well, then the healthy bacteria that is being cultivated goes and takes care of them. And the same process exists when we talk about cancer. We talk about, and then there's, you know, my personal opinion is a lot of different causes. It's not necessarily a single cause other than inside the body, immune system gets upset. Certain gene expressions are turned on or turned off because of a faulty diet, because of exposure to too much radiation, exposure to EMS from all of the wireless devices that are so prominent
right
today. And we have some speakers on that. And one of the interesting things there, we're actually on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a sneak preview of a movie that was put together about the effects of cell phone and Wi-Fi radiation. This movie hasn't been released yet. This is a sneak preview. And the director will be there. Well, be here. I'm in Glendale right now. On the effects of cell phone and Wi-Fi radiation. That'll be at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. And again, if all we did were present problems and we didn't provide any solutions, I think we would be doing everybody a disservice. But for every problem that we bring up, we have either a speaker or an exhibitor that has a solution that shows people how to overcome whatever that problem happens to be. And we, again, jumping around a little bit, but something else, another person that's going to be with us, actually for the first time, we've seen him, we talked to him at some of the events and conferences around the country where we go, but Dr. Paul Anderson, a very prominent naturopathic physician, professor of naturopathic medicine, talking about brain cancers, latest updates, and how to help cancer patients. You know, we hear so much in the news, glioblastomas, astrocytomas. John McCain, most everybody I'm sure in the audience is familiar with Senator McCain, has a brain cancer. And he has chosen to use radiation and probably will follow it up with chemotherapy. We'll see what his results are. If it's like what we've seen with other brain cancers, I don't think it'll be the outcome that he would like particularly. But people like Dr. Paul Anderson deal with this on a regular basis and help patients get through it and survive. And they survive with still have their brain. It's not has not been fried. They still have body parts. And they have normal, healthy function, and of course that's what we're trying to do is normal, healthy function.
Yes, and with the population being older now, and people, so many millions of people were smoking for so many years, and breathing in pollution for so many years. In many, many different cities, and for many, many reasons. There was a lot of pollution in many cities, along with the smoke. That didn't affect them probably back, you know, in the day before they, you know, went after the tobacco companies and the no smoking zones and all that. But I will bet today, now that they're senior citizens or elderly, that it definitely has an effect on their bodies.
I would absolutely agree with you on that. And the other aspect of that is that some of these conditions or some of these actually lifestyle choices take, and some people take longer to manifest than in other people. You know, for instance, some people can smoke for 40 years and with no apparent damage. Now, if we actually were examining them on a regular basis and looking at various things, we might see the damage, but just because of the way that they function, they can abuse themselves for a long time before it manifests itself into diagnosable disease, which doesn't mean that what caused it isn't harmful. It is harmful, but some people feel it right away. Others, it takes a little bit longer. And we want to provide people with good information and encourage them to make wise choices and recognize that some of the things they're doing undoubtedly are harmful and that they shouldn't be doing it if they don't want to get sick. If they want to restore health, they want to maintain health, then eliminate unhealthy habits, unhealthy so-called food products. Stay away from refined sugar, refined flour. Stay away from packaged foods that take what may very well be very good products out of the earth and grains and vegetables and fruits, and they alter them so much in putting them into a package that the nutritional value is gone. And without the proper nutritional profile on a regular basis, the human body will start to deteriorate. Again, some sooner than others, but ultimately deteriorates. Another thing that I really like to emphasize about our convention is the fact that we have actual recovered cancer patients that year after year come and participate. And on Sunday afternoon at 3:30, we devote an hour to where recovered cancer patients can take a few minutes and talk about their personal journeys from the development and diagnosis of cancer to the therapeutic approaches that they used and how they're doing today. And it's amazing. We have some people that 10, 15 years keep coming back because they're still alive and they're still healthy. And then we have...
Yes, and they're walking testimonials, and that's important that they do that.
Yes, it is. We have people like Peter Starr. He's a prostate cancer survivor, and how he got to where he is when he was diagnosed, he looked at what the doctor told him he should do and said, well, to himself, wait a minute, if I do that, then it's going to affect my life in this area, in another area. And he said, well, before I do that, I'm going to go and talk to some other medical professionals. So he put together, turned it into a documentary type program where he interviewed medical doctors all around the world, specifically mm-hmm. on how to correct prostate cancer problems. And you always enjoy having Peter. You know, we have people like Tamara St. John, Defeat Cancer Now. She's written a new book and be sharing that with us. And yet she's been through this. Peter Starr has been through it. Lorraine Day has been through this whole process. So they're telling their personal stories. Carolyn Gross, patient advocate, wrote a book, Treatable and Beatable. She's a breast cancer survivor, and I think it's going on about 15 years. And she rejected conventional medical advice. They said, well, you're going to die. And she said, well, yeah, we all are. But if I die, I'm going to die with all my parts, not after you've carved them up. She has her parts. She's surviving. She's thriving. And it's exciting to hear people give their personal stories and to see the energy that they have, the passion they have to help other people. And it's that
absolutely.
In itself.
Absolutely. And this is all, I'm going to say, and this is all going to be informative, educational, and memorable, and something people can take with them and really, really do their own homework and be motivated to do their own research. And not only people who may have cancer or other health issues, but people who want to prevent it and learn how to remain healthy. And then also because this is a remarkable event, and that with the cancer and strokes and diabetes and arthritis and heart attacks and so forth being such a problem in our country, I mean, this is a wonderful opportunity to not only for people who may have these problems, but for people who may know somebody who has the problems, can take information away with them and also give it to themselves and use it for themselves and their families. And the Glendale Hilton Hotel is a wonderful place to hold the event in Glendale, California. And I want to take a little break. Can you stay with me for a minute? Because I have a couple more questions for you.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, I'll be right back after this important message. So don't touch that dial. You're listening to Colombo Chronicles with President Frank Cousineau of the Cancer Control Society. And you're going to want to write the phone number down and make reservations at the Glendale Hilton Hotel, 818-956-5466.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back on Colombo Chronicles Live. Our guest is Frank Cousineau. He's the president of the Cancer Control Society, and he's inviting you to their 45th annual cancer convention. And it's going to be held in Glendale, California, at the Glendale Hilton Hotel. And if you missed some invaluable information and you just tuned in, all shows are archived, so you can come back to blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles and listen to the entire show. So, Frank, what are the top three, let's say, cancers that affect men?
I think the top three, probably men. I think the first one that comes to mind usually is prostate cancer. But lung and colon are up there near the top, and the particularly the lung and even the colon are, I think that with the strictly conventional approach, are more difficult to control than they should be. If we take a look at the women's side, of course, what comes to mind is the breast cancer, uterine, ovarian, but women face the lung and the colon almost as much as the men, and I think that it goes to lifestyle. Cigarette smoking has something to do with lung cancer, but from smoking and from dietary things. We see the effects well beyond, say, just lung cancer. And, for instance, breast cancer for the women, very often post-conventional treatment winds up getting into the lung, getting into the brain, getting into the liver. And if it goes undetected, then it winds up in the bones and other places. But those are the primary ones that say that the overall focus of men and women, and we are looking at a lot of rare forms today that come up, and some of them, it's interesting, are so rare that they're, even the conventional oncologists don't have any treatment protocols for them because they haven't seen them before. And kind of unusual, but the limiting factor there is that allopathic medicine says, well, we don't understand that condition, so we can't treat it. The alternative and integrative physicians will look at a patient that may have a rare form of cancer, but they'll look at the entire patient. And they'll look at blood profiles. They'll look at ratios of parameters inside the patient. And they say, well, first of all, before we start to attack something we're not real familiar with, let's balance the minerals. Let's balance the proteins. Let's balance all of these things before we start attacking something that we don't know what it is or we don't know about it. And a lot of times when allopathic medicine will attack something, again, it's an overkill. It uses weapons of mass destruction instead of tools, maybe to reduce the size of a cancer or to slow a cancer down. They'll use this, you know, day after day after day of radiation. They'll use large amounts of chemotherapy and take patients just almost to the point of death before they, in an effort to kill cancer, and then try to bring the patient back, as opposed to the physicians, many of whom are speaking at our convention Labor Day weekend this year, talk about let's support the healthy portions of the patient. Let's look at ways that we can reduce the cancer burden without killing the patient. And I think that most of them have found that balance. And obviously, after 45 years, we don't have too many of the people that spoke at the first conference speaking now. One of the, and I forget if he was actually at the very first one. I know I saw him somewhere 2, 3, 4. Ed Griffin. Ed Griffin is the author of the book World Without Cancer. In my opinion, that is probably the seminal written account of the alternative cancer movement, why it developed, and then he goes in, again, to the history and the politics behind it. And he did update the book here a few years ago. But again, seminal book on the alternative cancer therapy. And then you move forward, say, 25 years. We have Deborah Davis, again, PhD, Master of Public Health. She trains medical students. She's a professor in a number of establishment unit medical schools around the world, where she's helping to train physicians into how to approach patients after they get out of medical school. And that's something, again, we don't see a lot of that on the allopathic side as we do on the alternative and integrative. And of course, the 45th annual.
Yeah, I was just going to say that this has been a wealth of information for myself and our audience, and I really want to thank you for being on Colombo Chronicles. And now is your time to shine and let everyone know exactly how they can get in touch with the Glendale Hilton Hotel. What do they have to do to attend the convention for cancer control?
The event, of course, Labor Day weekend, which is coming up very quickly, Saturday, Sunday, Monday in front of us. Probably the quickest, easiest way is to go to cancercontrolsociety.com and click on the convention link. And there's one that says here's the program, and there's also a link that will connect you directly with the Hilton Hotel. And then, of course, there's the Cancer Control Society telephone number, area code 323-663-7801, 323-663-7801. That rings right into the Cancer Control Society office. Again, 45th Annual Cancer Convention, Labor Day weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, September 2, 3, 4, and encourage people, obviously, to come. The Glendale Hilton, for those of you that are familiar with the Los Angeles freeway system, is a couple of blocks off the 134 freeway in Glendale between Brand and Central. So very convenient coming in on the freeway. If you're out of town, if you can fly into the Hollywood Burbank Airport, you're only about 10 minutes away. But do plan to be with us at the end of the week. And again, cancercontrolsociety.com, and there are links there that will tell you the program, how to find the Hilton Hotel, and how to make your reservations.
Fantastic. And I just want to thank you so much, Frank Cousineau, for all you do to enlighten people about cancer and everyone that's involved in the Cancer Control Society and in the 45th annual convention coming up at the Glendale Hilton Hotel on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of September. So God bless you and keep up the good work. And we'll talk to you again next year.
Look forward to it. All right. Thank you, Rose. Really enjoyed it and look forward
You're
to
welcome.
Seeing you one of these things. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Frank Cousineau has left the building, and we're now going to talk a little bit. We're going to go from cancer to it's reported by Western Journalism that 14 have died as the largest reported disease outbreak in years sweeps through San Diego. This is very serious, and so I just wanted you to know about this, especially now that the 45th Annual Cancer Convention is coming up on Labor Day weekend at the Glendale Hilton Hotel in Glendale, California, and you're invited to attend. It says that a recent outbreak of hepatitis A among the homeless population of San Diego is believed by government officials to be the deadliest eruption of the infectious disease in the United States since the Centers of Disease Control launched its electronic reporting system in 1998. It's likely the most deaths in an outbreak in the United States in the past 20 years, an unnamed CDC spokesperson told The Guardian. The current outbreak began in November 2016. Since then, 352 cases of hepatitis A have been reported in San Diego County, with 14 deaths and 264 hospitalizations, far beyond the 28 hospitalizations averaged per year between 2012 and 2006. So this is a really serious problem because we do not want this to spread and become a pandemic. Whenever the government has a civil disobedience or a pandemic, a president under the presidential order, which should be voided out by President Trump, because under Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama, their presidential order reads that if a pandemic or civil disobedience is called out by a U.S. president, that he can call out martial law, curfew, and patrol the streets, and even indefinitely detain people, I suppose, at FEMA camps. Anyway, it says both numbers, 325 and 264, eclipse every single state hepatitis outbreak listed in the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Foodborne Illness Tracking Database since 1998, the San Diego Union-Tribune reported. The county has confirmed at least 19 new cases and 32 new hospitalizations. In comparison, the three people died at least, and 124 were hospitalized during the 2003 outbreak that erupted after a Pennsylvania restaurant served contaminated salsa. So you can see the huge discrepancy between the years and 2016 and 2017. My gut feeling is it was a common source where somebody might have given food to group homeless people, said Dr. Rohit Lumba, the director of hepatology at the University of California at San Diego, adding it likely then spread via personal contact. They don't have a clean water supply to wash their hands And once they have hepatitis A, they can become a source for another person. It will spread. So there you have it. So God bless you and God bless America. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me. But together we can make a positive difference. So remember, you're never alone when you listen to Colombo Chronicles Live at Blog Talk Radio Network.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.